Good morning. It's the 20th of August. Our New Testament reading today is Mark chapter 15. I'm going to read to you from Brother Lou Sargent's book, The Gospel of the Son of God. I read. The guard led Jesus from the place of trial into the governor's temporary residence. They called together their comrades, and for a time the rough soldiers, probably of mixed races recruited from various provinces of the empire, had their way with the prisoner. In a brutal mockery, they ridiculed both the humbly dressed peasant and the people whose king he claimed to be. Mark indicates the intention by saying they clothed him in purple. Matthew is probably more specific in describing it as a scarlet cloak. It may have been part of the uniform of one of the soldiers, but it was near enough to serve their object as a travesty of the imperial garb. For the imperator's laurel wreath, they twisted together thorny twigs from a bush that grew on waste ground near. The land of Israel brings forth a plentiful variety of thorns. Then they cried, "Hail, King of the Jews," in parody of Ave Caesar. The reed given him for a sceptre, they snatched back to buffet him on the head. They varied spitting in contempt with kneeling in burlesque homage. One of the places of pilgrimage in Jerusalem today is the pavement, some 10 feet below the level of the Via Dolorosa, which is believed to have been the Roman courtyard of the Tower of Antonia. If it was in this fortress, as seems likely, that Pilate sat in judgment on Jesus, then it was to this pavement that he brought his chair to pronounce sentence to satisfy the scruples of the Jews. On these ancient stones are to be seen the roughly scratched lines made by the Roman soldiers for their gambling games when off duty. Among them was the grim King game, for which there is a crude representation of a crown and a lifeline that runs through a series of compartments until it is cut off abruptly by a sword. Handed down from ancient Babylon, this terrible ritual had once required the sacrifice of the human victim. By the first century, it had degenerated into a macabre and heartless amusement played out with a condemned prisoner. This, it is believed, was the role that Jesus filled in the hands of these brutal men. Having had their sport, they took off the cloak and dressed him again in his own clothes. The priests and their servants had shown their contempt of his messiahship, but the shame of the cross would have been incomplete without this Gentile mockery of his kingship. This surely is what Mark is implying. Mark's story of the crucifixion is brief and restrained, even in comparison with the others. This dreadful method of execution was described by Cicero as the most cruel and horrifying death, and by Tacitus as a despicable death. Nothing was spared to the Son of Man in suffering or shame in the manner of his sacrifice. Yet the reticence of the Gospels in their account of it is enough in itself to lift them out of the level of human records. They betray its horrors only incidentally, and even then sparingly. Mark gives only a fragmentary account of those hours of agony, but the moments on which he throws light are those when words of Scripture were fulfilled. By a change of tense, Mark indicates a change in the scene. And they lead him out to crucify him. With the centurion taking command, discipline would be restored. But this expression of Mark, "they lead him out," no doubt designedly recalls Isaiah's, "as a lamb that is led to the slaughter." And we know that he went willingly to that sacrifice, that we might live. We thank God for that. Thank you for listening.